الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Honorable brothers in attendance and viewers of Madini channel, there are many excellences and virtues of reciting Salat ala Nabi. Peace and blessings upon the best of creation, our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Alihi Wasallam. In one narration, our beloved Ali Salam is reported to have said, and this is found in the book Tirmidhi, that ما جلس قوم مجلسا لم يذكروا الله فيه ولم يصلوا على نبيهم إلا كان عليهم تيرة. There is no gathering in which Allah Azza wa Jal is not remembered and Salat ala Nabi is not sent except that that gathering will be a means of regret for the people in that gathering. فَإِنْ شَاءَ عَذَّبَهُمْ وَإِنْ شَاءَ غَفَرَ لَهُمْ. Now, it is up to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether He punishes those people or He forgives them. What do we learn? That any gathering that you are a part of and you don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you don't do zikrullah azza wa jal, nor do you remember your beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and recite salat upon him, that gathering will become a means of regret on the Day of Judgment. So we have to ponder now, how many such gatherings have we been a part of? Or do we continue to be a part of? All of our majalis, all of our gatherings should be filled with zikrullah and salat ala nabi. If that is not the case, then what does the narration say? That gathering will be a means of regret on the Day of Judgment. And then it doesn't end there. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will either punish those people or forgive them. So we learn that every such gathering of ours where we gather with our friends, our relatives, we should remember Allah Azza wa Jal and recite Salat ala Nabi. May Allah Jalla wa Ala enable us to remember this hadith and ensure that all our gatherings are filled with zikrullah and salat ala nabi insha'Allah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Insha'Allah, before the bayan, make good intentions. The Prophet alayhi salam said, niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The believer's intention is better than his action. Make the intention that you are here in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who are attending, only to attain the pleasure of Allah azza wa jal. Those viewers at home who may be watching, make the intention that you are watching only to gain the pleasure of Allah Jalla wa Ala. Whatever you learn of sacred knowledge, you will try your utmost to remember it and act upon it inshallah. And make the intention that whatever you learn, you will try and convey that knowledge to others as well inshallah. Like this, before permissible actions, always make good intentions to attain reward. May Allah give us tawfiq to do so. Let us begin. Our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the greatest of creation. From all of Allah's creation, our beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest. And in the Quran, we find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the greatest of creation, our beloved Master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a command. And that is that, O beloved, make a particular supplication. What supplication am I referring to? In the Quran, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is instructed to say and make dua, Rabbi zidni ilma. O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. So firstly, the Prophet alayhi salam possesses the most knowledge in creation. Meaning out of all of creation from the beginning of time until Qiyamah, none can match the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There's no doubt about that. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is still being commanded, instructed by Allah azza wa jal to make a dua, Rabbi zidni ilma. Now, Imam Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi mentions a beautiful point in his book. He says that if the virtue of knowledge wants to be understood, then all you have to look at is this particular dua. Look at the excellence of knowledge by means of this dua. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was not ordered by Allah azza wa jal to make a dua for an increase in anything else except for knowledge. The Prophet alayhi wasallam wasn't told to say, Rabbi zidni mala, oh Allah increase me in wealth, or increase me in any other thing. What has been commanded, Rabbi zidni ilma. So this shows the excellence, the true excellence of knowledge, because the only thing that the Prophet ﷺ has been commanded to seek an increase in is knowledge, sacred knowledge, subhanallah. And of course this refers to knowledge of Islam, knowledge of Sharia, not contemporary knowledge. Contemporary knowledge, worldly knowledge, if it's sought with good intentions, you'll be rewarded. But what is meant here, first and foremost, is sacred knowledge, knowledge of Islam. So subhanAllah, the Prophet ﷺ was instructed to make a dua, Ya Allah, increase me knowledge. We should make this dua too. I remember the benefits of knowledge are so much that subhanAllah, ulama have written entire books on this topic. Let me give you an account from the life of Sayyiduna Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayh. And from this account, you will realize and you will understand the greatness of knowledge. What knowledge will give you in this world, and inshallah in the Akhirah as well. So, Sayyiduna Qazi Abu Yusuf Ya'qub bin Ibrahim, rahimahullahu ta'ala, one of the greatest students of Imam Abu Hanifa, Imamul A'zam, radiyallahu ta'ala. He speaks about himself and he says, at the beginning of my journey, in seeking sacred knowledge, I was a young child, I was in my youth. My father passed away, I was an orphan. My mother, she would create thread from silk or cotton, and that's how she would make ends meet. And then she would send me to the laundry person so that I could also learn about this job. Because a skill is a skill for life. She would go and send me to that laundry person, I would learn about the trade. But my heart was restless the whole time. I didn't enjoy it. And this was like an ishara for Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi that he was meant for another field. He was meant for something else. So his mother would send him as a young child, go and learn this trade. But he would end up in the gatherings of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He would end up in the knowledge-based gatherings of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. When his mother found out, she would say to him, what are you doing, son? I'm sending you to the laundry guy. I'm sending you so that you can learn a trade. And that will help you throughout your life. You will have financial ease. You won't face difficulty in this regard. But you're ending up in the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And she would specifically go to that gathering and bring her son back. Come back, son, this is not why I sent you. It's continued for a long while until one day the mother of Qadi Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, she actually went to the great Imam and she said, what's going on? I'm sending my son to learn a trade. He continues to come to your gathering. The maqsad, the purpose is not being fulfilled. The reason why I'm sending him to learn a skill, a trade, he's ending up in your gathering. And she said to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, disallow, meaning do not allow my son to come to your gathering. Meaning tell him you're not allowed to come. And the great Imam, obviously he wasn't going to do that. He said to the Honorable Mother of Qazi Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, let him study. Let him study. Inshallah, you will see the benefits of that. There will come a time in his life that he will eat a special dessert made from pure ghee and almonds. And he will also consume a dessert called Faluda. And at that time, in those days, it wasn't common for poor people, normal people, to eat those kinds of dishes or food. This was for the elite, for the wealthy people. So the mother of Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, she was like, what are you on about? How can poor people like us eat stuff like that? It's not possible. I don't know what you're even saying. And she left disappointed. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that I continued frequenting the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. I continued going to his gatherings until the day came when I had learned and amassed a great amount of knowledge. He'd become older now, he's an adult. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him in such a way that he became the chief judge in his time. He became the chief judge, he was appointed chief judge. And he had a relationship with Khalifa Harun Rashid. Now once Khalifa Harun Rashid came to his home and brought some food as well. And what food did he bring? Yes, exactly the same items that Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi predicted a long time ago. He brought that special dessert made of almonds, ghee, and faluda, etc. And when Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi saw this, he began to smile. So the Khalifa Harun Rashid said, why are you smiling for? Oh Imam, why are you smiling? He said, I'm smiling because I recall the words of my teacher, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. And he mentioned the entire story. Matlab that when I was young, my mother would send me to work to learn the laundry trade so that I can acquire a skill, I can work all my life, have financial ease. But I would end up in the gathering of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. She would tell me not to go. She eventually said to Imam Sahib, don't allow him to come to your gathering. But Imam Sahib said these very words that let him study. One day he will eat such food, subhanallah, that you cannot even imagine. Another time my mother was confused, my mother didn't believe it. But today those words have come true. When he mentioned the whole story to Khalifa Harun Rashid, Khalifa Harun Rashid said that, subhanallah, undoubtedly knowledge benefits and helps one arise in both the world and the hereafter as well. So dear viewers of Madhi Channel, brothers in attendance, sacred knowledge, this elevates a person. This gives prominence to a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the fadail of knowledge in the Quran. قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. That say, are those who have knowledge and those who do not have knowledge the same? Are they equivalent? Of course not. In other parts of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions how ulul ilm, the people of knowledge, also testify that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah. Meaning he singles out the people of knowledge. So, like this throughout the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate those who believe from you and those who were granted knowledge. He will elevate you in many ranks, darajat. So like this throughout the Quran, you will find fadail of seeking knowledge. From this account in particular, subhanAllah, just a few points, we learn that the awliya Allah, the people like Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, we learn about their spiritual insight. That so many years earlier, Imam Sahib said something that was going to happen in the future. And this is something that the awliya Allah are blessed with. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fear the insight of a believer. فَإِنَّهُ يَنْظُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. For indeed he sees with the nur of Allah azza wa jal. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi knew that this would happen. That many years later, my student Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi would consume such food. And he would attain such ranks as well, subhanallah. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about going to the ulama, consulting the ulama. Another fadila of knowledge, that those who possess knowledge of Islam, Allah jalla wa ala is saying in the Quran, go to them. You won't find anywhere in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go to a worldly person, or someone worldly rank or status, go to him. But the ahl al-dhikr, as the Quran mentions, the ulama have been singled out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Anbiya verse 7, فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. If you do not know about a matter, then who should you consult? فاسألوا أهل الذكر إن كنتم لا تعلمون. Ask the people of dhikr, ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. So the ulama, they have been singled out with praise as well. And then again, Allah Jalla wa Ala speaks about the ulama, says that those who truly inherit knowledge from the Anbiya alayhi salam, they are the ones who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That from the slaves of Allah Azza wa Jalla, who is it that truly fear Him? It is the ulama that truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know about the dhat of Allah, the attributes of Allah. They know about the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They fear Him the most. They are most grateful to Him. And this is their maqam. In the akhirah, subhanallah, when people will be entering Jannah, we know that the ulama will be stopped. And why will they be stopped? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command them to intercede for all those people who assisted them in the world. The ulama will perform shafa'ah on the day of judgment as well. Subhanallah. So knowledge, this is something that we must acquire, we should acquire, we should invest time and make efforts to acquire sacred knowledge. This worldly knowledge that we seek, chalo, with good intentions is okay. With good intentions. But this sacred knowledge that you will attain is everlasting. And the reward for that is immense. Let's listen to a few narrations in this regard. Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, who has been referred to as the door of knowledge. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its door. Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu was very, very knowledgeable in regards to Islam. In fact, in one occasion, he was sitting on a minbar when somebody walked in and on the spot said, Oh Imam, I want you to solve the ruling regarding such a matter of inheritance. And he said, someone has X amount of children, and he started listing all the family and relatives. So who gets what? And anybody who studied inheritance laws, miras, ilmul miras, inheritance matters, knows how complex these masail are. That you can make a mistake, end up, you know, making a massive blunder in calculating. But on the spot, Sayyidina Ali karramallahu ta'ala wajhahu al-kareem, he worked out exactly which member receives what share. Right on the spot. This was the knowledge that he was blessed with. So Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala, he was asked, what is better, knowledge or wealth? Knowledge or wealth? And today obviously we know everybody is after an increase in wealth, but how many of us want an increase in sacred knowledge? Listen to the answer regarding this question. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said, knowledge is superior to wealth for 7 reasons. He didn't just give one answer. He gave 7 answers to this question. Knowledge is the inheritance of the prophets alayhi salam, and wealth is the inheritance of Fir'aun. Allahu Akbar. Knowledge does not decrease if spent, but wealth decreases when spent. This is musallam, this is an accepted haqiqah, this is reality. That knowledge does not decrease when you spend it, when you impart it to others, when you teach others. It increases. You remember things more. The more you discuss them with others, the more you teach them to others. But wealth decreases when it's spent. Wealth is left behind in the world, but knowledge accompanies man to his grave. And this is also an accepted reality. As soon as someone passes away, the family are busy in distributing his wealth. It doesn't go with him to the grave. And Sayyidina Ali said, wealth is left behind in the world, but knowledge accompanies man to the grave. Both a believer and non-Muslim have wealth. Believers and disbelievers. Everyone gains rizq. Allah is Razaq. He gives to everyone in this world. So believer and non-Muslim both have wealth. But it is only the believer who gains sacred knowledge. Knowledge of Islam. He truly inherits from the Anbiya alayhi salam. All are dependent upon an alim for their religious matters. But not upon the wealthy, upon the rich. So again, who did they consult for their religious matters? Who did they go to ask these questions? It's those who have knowledge, the Ahlul Ilm, the Ulama. And lastly, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala said that knowledge will strengthen the possessor whilst passing the bridge of Sirat, but wealth will cause a barrier on it. But when you cross the bridge of Sirat, knowledge will strengthen the one who crosses the bridge of Sirat. The one who possesses knowledge, this will strengthen him whilst he's crossing it. Ilm, sacred knowledge, is a must. And remember, the ulama have said, the likes of Allah Hazrat Rahmatullahi Ali and many scholars before him, that there is a certain amount of knowledge that every single person has to acquire. What is that? That when you become baligh, when you become mature, Islamically speaking, you're an adult, namaz becomes obligatory. Now it makes sense that before you even become baligh, you should be learning about the laws of salah. And then when a person accumulates enough wealth through his work, through his job, Hajj may become obligatory upon him. And he must know about the rulings of Hajj. It's not the case that he's found out that Hajj is fard upon him and he's just going to head out. We discussed this before, that learning about the masail of Hajj is very important. So there again, knowledge is necessary upon that person. Again, zakat. Zakat becomes fard upon a person. A person needs to know who he can give it to, who he cannot give it to, how much he has to give. Some people satisfy themselves by giving a bit and said, I gave my share. But if they were to calculate properly, they would realize that they give way less than they ought to give. Similarly, fasting in the month of Ramadan, if someone's baligh, he has to fast. So learning about these masail is necessary upon every Muslim. And then for women, obviously, they have their makhsus, their own masail that they must learn about. And then, dependent on each case, you have to acquire knowledge. For example, somebody has started trade, tijara, business. He must know knowledge or rulings regarding trade before he even starts. Imagine he's put so much investment, so much energy, so much time into something only to realize later that the conditions were incorrect or the way he did it was incorrect. So this is something that we must think about today. And people, sadly, they have this mindset, doesn't matter, I've earned it now, next time I'll be mindful. But we have to be very, very careful from the off, because we don't want to be earning wealth in a way that is impermissible. Because remember, anything earned in an impermissible way cannot attain barakah. How can you have blessings and barakah in something that is attained in an impermissible way? It's not possible. So, depending on your state, and it could be argued that everyone here, the knowledge that is binding upon them is different in some way or another, because our circumstances are different. So these are the things that we must learn about. And remember, learning knowledge, spreading knowledge, subhanallah, becoming an alim, aspiring to become an alim, these are great things. These are things that we should truly try and do. And listen to a narration. This is in Ithaf al-Sadat al-Muttaqeen of Imam Zabiri rahmatullahi alayh. He says that when the Day of Judgment shall occur, Allah Azza wa Jal will make worshippers and those who fight for His cause enter paradise. The ulama will say that, O our merciful Lord, by the knowledge that we spread, meaning we spread knowledge throughout our lives, these worshippers and fighters of your cause gain their ranks. Meaning these people who have entered paradise, they gained it because they used to listen to the knowledge that we imparted. If they didn't know about the fadail of doing such acts, why would they do it? So this is what the ulama will say. And they'll say, meaning that, Ya Allah, what's our reward? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O scholars, to me your status is like that of some of my angels. Your status is like that of some of my angels. Therefore intercede, your intercession will be accepted. Hence they will intercede and then they will enter paradise. So picture that scene. Worshippers, people who fought in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they'll be entering paradise. And the ulama will say, Ya Allah, it's because of the knowledge that we taught them and spread to them that they did their a'mal. So what's our reward? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that, to me, you are like some of my angels. Intercede, they will intercede and then they will enter paradise as well. Subhanallah. This is the fadila of having Islamic knowledge. Another narration, this states that on the Day of Judgment, the ink used by the ulama in their pens, and the blood of martyrs will be weighed. So you have one side, the ink of the ulama that they used in their pens, and the other side, You will have the blood of the martyrs, which will weigh heavier. It's mentioned that the ink of the ulama will dominate the blood of the martyrs. So this is why it's very, very important to learn knowledge and if possible become an alim of the deen. And in terms of worldly knowledge, people want to become the best they can be. They go to college, they go to university, then they want to do a master's, and then many times they want to do a PhD as well. They want to be recognized as an expert in their field. And it happens. Well, what about sacred knowledge? If we're not learning the bare minimum, then we have a long way to go. We have to learn fard ulum, that knowledge which is binding upon us, then go beyond that, learn extra knowledge. Then go beyond that, try and become an alim. Go beyond that, try to become a mufti of Islam. How come when it comes to sacred knowledge, we don't have the same jazbah, the same passion, the same enthusiasm? And it may be the case that shaitan tricks us. That for every hadith you learn, for every verse you learn, every tafsir you read, every hadith book you read, every fiqh book that you read, you're not gaining instant wealth for that. But this is a trick of shaitan. Because we know that the wealth and the reward that we will attain in the akhirah because of this, who can put a limit to that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward people in full on the day of judgment. So just because in terms of finance, you can't see that instant benefit, but rest assured in the akhirah and that everlasting life when the ulama who was satisfied with Allah, with what He gave them in this world, they will be on members of Noor and they will be granted such a high maqam, then you will realize. But it will be too late then. That is why today in the world, we must ensure that we gain sacred knowledge. And just a few final things inshallah before I conclude the bayan. In the world, we know someone becomes a well-known personality, the red carpet is rolled out for them, they be given the title of a celebrity, etc. Do you know a student of sacred knowledge, somebody who learns Islamic knowledge, forget about a red carpet. The angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spread their wings for the students of knowledge. إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. That the malaika, they spread their wings for the student of knowledge. They're happy with him seeking knowledge on a daily basis, going out, learning about Islam, learning Quran, learning Hadith. This is very, very important. And it's quite saddening when we ourselves prevent our children whenever they come on this path. And it's been heard many a times. Somebody wanted to learn sacred knowledge and the parents become an obstacle. The elders become an obstacle. But what are you doing? Stick to what you're doing at, you know, uni, or stick to this route. Don't go down that lane. Ma'adallah, we become an obstacle and we prevent others. And this is something that we should never do. Why? Because it will come back to haunt us. We are stopping somebody from gaining such fadail. The angels are lowering their wings for such a person. The blood of martyrs will be dominated by the ink of the ulama on the day of judgment. We just heard that in the Quran, you read the entire Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about asking for an increase in knowledge. But if you read the Quran, the only thing that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been asked to make a dua for an increase in is knowledge. And Allama ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says, this alone should tell you about the excellence of knowledge. Rabbi zidni ilma. This is a dua that we make. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed to make this dua in the Quran. وَقُلْ رَبِّي زِدْنِي عِلْمًا. And say, O beloved, O my Lord, increase me in knowledge. Allama ibn Hajar Asqalani rahmatullahi alayhi says, study the entire Quran. You will not find another maqam where the Prophet alayhi salam has been asked to make a dua for an increase in anything else. Increase in wealth, increase in status or rank or anything like that. But what has been instructed? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase you in knowledge. We should follow suit as well. We should make this dua regularly and abundantly as well. And this first and foremost, as mentioned before, refers to sacred knowledge. And I'll finish with a final hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in regards to knowledge, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. That knowledge only comes through learning. So today, if you've been encouraged and you feel that you should embark on this path of attaining sacred knowledge, then whilst your jazba is high, I would advise and I would humbly request that you from this day onwards embark on this path of sacred knowledge. Al-ilmu bit-ta'allum. The Prophet ﷺ said knowledge comes through seeking it. If I just make the intention and there's no practical action on my side, then by next Friday I'll still be at the same stage. So read a book, read literature. Alhamdulillah, the sahulat, the facilities, the ease that we have today didn't exist years ago. Hundreds of years ago, scholars had to travel from city to city to learn one hadith, country to country. Today, alhamdulillah, in our iPads, in our phones, we have entire collections of tafaseer, hadith, Islamic literature. Study it, learn it, inshallah, act upon it, and then impart it to others as well. May Allah Jalla wa Ala grant us all tawfiq to learn sacred knowledge in abundance and to act upon it as well. Ameen, bi jahin Nabi al-Ameen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Say it,